This is the Lone Star Scoop Podcast, an in-depth and inside look of the biggest stories in Texas from the award-winning News Talk 820, WBAP, and 570 KLIF News Team.
The 131st State Fair of Texas is officially underway.
State Fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. There's stuff to see and show us that
our... Howdy, folks. This is Big Tex talking to you.
We're always looking at new issues, new trends as far as safety and security. We do update and look at anything new that we need to do to make sure things are safe.
We are bringing the best of the best to the State Fair of Texas, so it continues to make the State Fair of Texas bigger and better every year for our fairgoers.
This is a fun time of year. As a matter of fact, as I entered through the gates today, my mouth started watering thinking about the corn dog.
Hi, I'm WBAP KLIF News Director Frieda Ross. The State Fair is known for its food, the exhibits, the car show, concerts, and the midway. Today we take a look behind the scenes of some of the preparations and give you an idea of what you can expect.
Well, since 1886, this has been a thing. And we're all very excited. So I think this group here, between myself, Eric Bushman, Nicole Osei, Alan Skye, and Chad Dixon, talking about the State Fair of Texas, which gets underway today, of course, and it's going to last for the next 3 weeks, and of course, counting the full final weekend 3 weeks from now. And one of the things we need to talk about that, of course, has been going on that we've been watching through the Dallas City at Dallas City Hall has been the issue with paying Dallas police officers, the actual funding for security that's going to be there. Of course, the city not too long ago said that they would foot $2 million of the projected $3 million cost, and the fair has said that they would pick up that additional $1 million. And City Councilman Scott Griggs has been adamant that he wants to see the fair pay for 100% of it. And this is going to be really interesting going forward in the years to come, whether or not the fair is going to spend more, if not all of the money, to pay for security there. Of course, this goes into some of the issues that the Dallas Police Department has had with attrition, officers leaving for competing cities, and also, of course, for morale, of course, it's been an issue within the Dallas Police Department over the last number of years. One of the interesting things also, that especially the city's been arguing about, is how the attendance, a record last year, 2.4 million people, and the fact that Scott Griggs, again, the city councilman, has argued that some of the executives, the high-up executives within the State Fair of Texas, are making large salaries. He even accused him of making as much as $700,000, and his argument is if you can have that large of a paycheck going to one person, then the fair can obviously then pay for all of the security. So that'll be interesting going forward. But that's obviously one of the things that going forward, you're going to see the Dallas police officers that are going to be out there throughout the fair. And one of the high up in the Dallas Police Department has said that the State Fair of Texas is going to be one of the safest places in the city of Dallas, of course, the last part of this month and going in through most of October. Of course, the other thing when we talk about security is safety on the rides. And Nicole Osei, you've been looking into that.
That's right. I'm sure we all remember what happened over the summer in Ohio on their opening day of State Fair when a ride malfunctioned and a teenager was killed, several people injured. And that's something that the Texas State Fair, they don't want that to happen. So they're very, very... they put ride safety as their utmost important thing. So when they bring in new rides, the head of Midway Operations travels to see that ride in person. And then they also send a ride inspector that the fair picks out to look over that ride. And then they also require what's called a non-destructive test. And that's something that the ride owner has to provide to make sure that the ride's safe, basically, and no one will be injured. And in addition to that, the fair will have an independent safety inspector review those results as well. So during the fair, the rides are checked out daily before the fair opens, and then they inspect groups of different rides daily and have meetings every week. So they're making sure that people are safe. They don't want anything to happen like what happened in
Yeah.
Ohio, basically.
Do we know, I know this is a hard question to ask, but do we know, were these the same procedures that went on in Ohio and something still happened? Or where have they do they have a history? If not, you know, I guess checking their rides as much as maybe the State Fair is going to this time around.
Well, I talked with the fair's Carissa Condianis, and she was saying that, you know, they've got, the state has its own regulations that they have to abide by. And
okay.
Then each fair can have their, they can have additional regulations. So they place their, they've come up with their own set of regulations that they want to abide by so that they can make extra, take extra precautions, you know, to have very high standards.
Yesterday at the press conference, the director of ride safety for the fair here, he said that the laws the rules they have in place, the regulations they have in place for the State Fair of Texas, those are some of the toughest that are going to be anywhere in the country. And what he said most of our inspectors, that they send out 8 inspectors every year on the road to go and take a look at these rides before they get here. They say, you know, we want to inspect them while they're running at another fair so that we can kind of get ahead of it.
I would imagine Texas does probably have the most stringent just because this is, I believe, is this not the biggest fair in the country, the Texas State Fair? Is it not? Or am I wrong on that? I believe it is.
It's the biggest time.
It would have to be one of the biggest.
Biggest. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I can imagine. I know I've been to state fairs in other states. Now, these are mostly states in the South. They are a lot smaller.
It is the best. We'll put it that way. If it's not the largest, but at least
it's not the largest.
One other thing I wanted to mention, that something that Alan, you talked about earlier, is that even in terms of the ride operators, if they're caught with the cell phone, they'll be kicked out. I believe you're not allowed to have that on there. So even the people that are operating, they want to make sure that they are paying attention and taking care of the patrons. So
that seems
that lets you know something that everyone's got to be on the ball.
Now, we're talking about also one of the ways to get to the fair, obviously transportation. And of course, you can take your car, you can pay to park if you want to go, on top of having to buy a ticket and do all of that. But if you want to spend $5 and go to local DART,
Yeah, DART is one of their, what they're saying is, you know, they're going to run extra buses, they're going to run extra trains just to make sure everybody can get here. And if you're coming from Fort Worth, they're going to be running, the TRE is going to run on Sundays throughout the run of the fair. They do that every year. One of the things DART told us the other day is we don't want people to remember the time they spent standing on a platform at outside Fair Park. We want them to remember going inside and having a good time at the fair and eating all the fried food. We just, we don't want them to think, oh, it was tough to get a train, you know. And so they're going to be running the extra trains back and forth. And they're encouraging people, you know, make your schedule ahead of time. You know, check, you know, do you want to take the green line, the orange line, down to one of the transfer stations and you know, figure it out ahead of time before you get on the road. And, maybe consider. If you've driven in, I think everyone's driven around Fair Park.
Yes.
That's a miserable time also. That also makes you forget the fried food.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like, when it comes to rapid transit or just city transit around here, you know, compared to other big cities, Dallas, everybody knows it's not the best. So that is great that they're at least trying to get more, buses and trains going through. Because I know now the wait's like 30 minutes between most trains coming through. So it's, definitely need that.
We hear it from DART frequently is, you know, we've got a good system. We've got the longest light rail system in the country.
I can see
that. It's just that people don't know it's there.
Yeah.
Because, and that's one of the things you'll hear from these, and I'm being a downer. I'm not talking about fried food right now. But one of the things you'll hear from DART is, or from any public transit agency, is that it takes generations for people to kind of get used to it, to know it's there. So that it's always in the back of your mind, oh, I can take the train instead of driving.
Totally.
And also, Dallas is so spread out. A lot of people have cars here. A lot of people drive. That's just what we do here in North Texas. So that adds to that, I guess, people not using the DART as much as they could.
And I think taking also some decent advice from my own experience about coming from the north end of town on DART on the red line, then of course I have to change trains to get onto the green line to go over to Fair Park. One of the things to do, a lot of people will get the first downtown Dallas stop to wait. Well, a lot of people are going to do that. So it might be smarter to go in maybe one more stop, so then you're not in that huge crowd, say at Pearl or the Arts District or whichever one that exactly is, where all the lines come together down the Pacific Avenue through downtown Dallas. Get the green line there, and then maybe hopefully your train going north and then also east will not be nearly as crowded, but then you'll have to deal with everyone coming in on that next stop. Economic impact, obviously, is something that is huge with this. It doesn't just affect the city of Dallas, even though obviously Dallas gets the biggest economic boost, but the state of Texas as a whole. And Chad, you've kind of been looking at some of those numbers.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, it's pretty shocking about how much money this brings into the city. And now, I'll be honest, I didn't do a lot of this homework. Thankfully, the University of North Texas did a study just last year on how the fair in 2016 impacted this area. So just to give you some numbers, we'll start off with just what we all know, the Red River Showdown or Red River Shootout, whatever you want to call it these days, between OU and Texas. So just that brings in anywhere between like $36 and $40 million. So then we'll get bigger than that. The economic impact, just the core impact, we're talking about people buying stuff, people getting on the rides, people buying cotton candy, that kind of stuff. So there's a $307 million impact. And then as you get bigger, they think the total impact, this includes like the Red River Showdown. This does not include the auto show. But when you add things like that, also, I don't know if you guys know, but the State Fair Classic, what game is that? But anyway, that's a game that apparently he's played also.
It's very important.
Is that Grambling and Prairie View?
That's probably it. Okay. Yes. Okay. So that game, when you add all those things together.
I'd like to point out that the three guys in the room
didn't know that.
Yeah. And I did.
But yeah, okay. The State Fair Classic, when you add all those things in, the total impact is around $500 million, so half a billion. It really is incredible. And they hire close to 6,000 employees for this bad boy. It's making $44 million in wages. That's how much these will make. It's the equivalent of 500 full-time jobs. So it's an amazing operation.
I wonder if
I was just going to say, when you talk about the size of this operation, I was looking through my notes here, and I remember, yeah, yesterday the Dallas Police Assistant Chief, he had said, for us, this is our biggest thing that we do every year, because it just goes on and on, and it goes for several weeks, and we've always got thousands of people coming and going. So it's always going to be a huge project for them.
It's amazing. If you think about the money that comes in, and it's only 24 days. That's how long the fair is. It's 24 days. And they impact the city of Dallas $500 million. That's a pretty good month.
Well, I wonder if that has anything to do with why maybe they feel they don't have to pay more for security if they're bringing in that type of money into the economy. Maybe they feel that's the trade-off.
Well, that's the big city argument, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there was one thing when I was talking about security earlier I failed to mention, and I'm glad I remembered this. This is going to impact the average everybody who's going to go, and that is the fact that they're no longer going to be wanding people, so to speak, that are going to be coming in. You will be going through a metal detector. Now, the police claim that's going to make the lines flow more. We don't know. For anyone that's been through an airport, you know that a long line in front of a metal detector is not exactly fun. But obviously everyone wants they want everyone to be secure, so it's going to be metal detectors out there this time around, so be prepared for that. And of course, the most important topic, food. What's everyone's favorite?
Well, I remember when I was younger, I used to love the smoked turkey leg and the funnel cake.
Funnel cake.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I moved here... And I was like, oh, listen, I got to try all that. Was right around the time they introduced the fried butter.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been less impressive to me. Where it's just like, it was runny. And like, you kind of, like, I know they froze the little ball of butter and then they dipped it in a fryer to try to make it one chunk. But I was like, this isn't delicious.
So
like,
what is your favorite?
It doesn't sound delicious. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite then?
But I still do try like new fried stuff every year. And I'm trying to think if I have a favorite. I know.
I've always liked the fried Oreos. I feel like that or the fried Snickers. Just the two things I feel like when they started off just frying stuff, I feel like those were the first two. And I feel like those have since been held on the longest as the best.
My two favorite for most creative would definitely be the fried shrimp boil. That's going back about 3 years. But then about 4 or 5 years ago, that deep, and you can still get it now, the deep fried Cuban roll is by far my favorite. Outside of the normal corny dog experience. To me, that's a separate entity.
Do you think Fletcher's corny dog is head and shoulders above other corny dogs?
It is superior to everything.
This
is the 75th anniversary of the Fletcher's corny dog, too.
And I should have looked this up, but I did not. But I have always heard that the Fletcher's family, they make their entire year off of this. Off of the State Fair of Texas. Now, I think they go to other state fairs, maybe, but I've heard that they make enough from this. If they wanted to, sit out the rest of the year.
That's a
pretty good job.
What makes it so good?
See, I don't know. I don't think there's anything
super special about it.
But
you've never had one?
No.
Okay.
I will say I haven't had one in a few years only because the line's always so long. I mean, every day, or, you know, I only go once during the fair, but when I went the last couple of times, it was just packed. And I was like, I'm not going to wait in that when I can get all these other things because, you know, there's so much food there. Do y'all have a favorite? We can come back to foods, but do y'all have a favorite part of the state fair you like to go to? Like my family, I've always gone with my dad to the auto show. And so that's kind of a thing that I really like going to. And I love the livestock. Love it. I love that area.
I don't have like a favorite thing. Usually every year I just kind of show up with people and we wander around for a little bit. And I wave my hands like this in the air, and I look creepy. Yeah. People can't see me.
I started doing that.
We wander around. Yeah. And I started waving my arm around. I went last year with Bushman.
Okay.
And he was insistent that he wanted to play skee ball
at the fair.
And so I started that at Chuck E. Cheese. Pictures of Bushman playing skee ball. I was like, hey, listen, two bros going out on the weekend playing skee ball. That's the most natural thing in the world. There's nothing weird about two bros playing skee ball.
2 minutes of the 30s.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time. No, I always like going. Sorry, you go ahead, Nicole.
Well, I think that I was a wanderer too, because I have to admit, I haven't been there in years.
Okay.
It has been a long time since I've been to the fair. But I just remember wandering around and just wanting to see everything. I didn't really have a specific area that I'll never forget.
I always get frustrated because I'll go to the livestock area and I'll go where they have the dairy cows and I'll want to talk to the guy who has the cow that produces the most milk, and I'll ask him how many gallons can the she produce a day, and I'll never forget this one guy. He could only tell me in liters. And like, I'm not smart enough to do what was he
Canadian?
But like,
well, they like Canadians into the fair.
But I felt like my question was like, had to be the most common question. Like, how many gallons does this thing produce a day? And he's like, well, we don't do it in gallons. When we sell it in liters and blah. But I'm like, I felt like this is I couldn't have been the first person to ask this question. I feel like every person before me who doesn't know anything about the dairy industry, when they asked a guy about a cow and how much it produced, they probably asked in gallons. And I never got it. It was some outrageous thing. It was like they could produce like 4 or 5 gallons a day. It was ridiculous when I finally did the conversion in my head. Mm-hmm. And that's just one cow. But yeah, I was very frustrated that he hadn't done the conversion himself, because I figured everybody had to have asked him that question before, but apparently not. Apparently just me.
That does seem like a lot of milk, though.
It's a ton. I was shocked. It might not be 4 or 5 gallons, but it's definitely more than a gallon.
Oh, wow.
And it's every day.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that works.
So for people that, I mean, as I said, it's been a long time since I've been to the fair. So for people that have not been, what would you all suggest they have to see when they're there?
Gosh.
That's a tough one to answer. Because, you know, if you're someone who's never, like when I went for the first time, I just kind of wanted to see everything, but then you stop being the tourist who shows up at like Times Square. Then you just know, okay, I just want to get there and do my thing and leave. Like you stop treating it like a tourist would. And so like, it's tough to pick out one thing, because that's one of the main things I do during the fair is complain about all the people from out of town.
Yeah.
Who wander around.
So, true.
Yeah. Like, I can't zoom in on one thing.
If you want to go in on a day that's just the most thriving, it would have to be the day that Texas and OU play. I've been there. And when those two teams are good, it's obviously that much bigger, that much better. Even if you're not going to the game, you can just feel the atmosphere. The atmosphere is awesome.
I've heard people say they like the cab ride that goes up.
Oh, like, yeah, the gondola.
Yeah, the gondola. You know, like
I've never ridden that.
It kind of gives you a good view.
That would be cool.
Of the skyline.
Yeah, you can see everything.
Yeah,
I would do that.
I'll be honest. I think our fair's too big. I'm gonna make maybe a controversial statement on that. I went to a smaller fair. And you could finish it all in about 2 hours. And I thought that was a perfect amount of time. Whereas the state fair, that's an all day and you're going to be exhausted. It's a workout.
That's interesting too. Yeah. Because you think that having wandered around the fair year after year and like, yeah, last year we went and I think the year before I didn't go. And yeah, it's like the size of it. Like how many corny dog stands do you need to have? Like how many skee ball lanes do you have to have before, okay, that's enough?
I've seen it. I looked it up. It's 277 acres. Like, that's how big the state fair is. I mean, that's giant. Yeah. So you're doing a lot of walking. seeing a lot of different things. Now, like, what's so cool about the State Fair, like, if you're into Art Deco design, like, it's cool because All Fair Park is basically Art Deco, mm-hmm. and it's built during 1936. Like, there's so many cool things. If you like cars, you can go there. You like the farm animal. I mean, it's amazing. That's what true.
It does have something for everybody. Like, and yeah. this year, they just opened up a new building, too, and that's going to have, you know, like, different farm display, and I forget the... It is the... I wrote the name down. Stay with me, everybody.
Sounds like a great place to go.
The Briscoe Carpenter Livestock Center.
Okay.
It's down
okay.
kind of on like the south part of the...
So it's just a new area where they're going to have livestock. It's not necessarily new...
It's also like a... They've also got like exhibits up. And so, yeah, when you go in there, you can look at, you know, like groundwater stuff and how they keep everything watered. And,
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, they keep adding new things and new stuff so that they don't want you to get bored. But yeah, it's, you know, you just kind of, I just go there and wander around, have a good time. And
yeah, it's a day.
Yeah, the time will get away from you, so you won't realize that you walked over 200 acres.
Let's hope
you're
so.
Having too much fun.
No, it's a good time. Are we going to wait?
It's well worth it.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoy the funnel cakes, the deep-fried everything, the concerts, and the rides. Thanks to Nicole Osei, Eric Bushman, Alan Skaya, and Chad Dixon for their input. For the Lone Star Scoop, I'm WBAP KLIF News Director Frieda Ross.
You've been listening to the Lone Star Scoop Podcast. Be sure to download at WBAP.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts.